And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, we will be covering the Lair of Grievous. General Grievous must prove himself worthy of the Separatists when Count Dooku leads Jedi Master Kit Fisto to Grievous's villainous enclave. There will be probably Grievous love from Chris, I'm assuming. We haven't talked about it yet.
Oh, yeah.
A dumb new Jedi Knight who is an Anakin wannabe and Kit Fisto being awesome. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. And yes, there will be some Grievous love in this one.
Yes, I guessed correctly.
A lot of Grievous love. We get to see him put through his paces in this one.
Yeah, I actually, as much as I do dislike General Grievous, I think this is one of his better episodes.
Oh, how merciful of you.
You're welcome. End of episode. That was a good job. Great recording. I loved it.
Wow. Well, this is the most no-nonsense episode we've ever done, man. We're just blasting right into this episode.
I think it's because I'm kind of tired.
We usually have some side topic that we've talked that we get.
Well, we have talked about 20 minutes before we started recording.
That's true. I was begging Hope to come to Eternal Con this year so we could get more freaks there. More freaks!
Yeah, Chris is going to be at Eternal Con, so you should go find him and say hi, guys.
If you can find us. People found us last year, so I'm hoping they'll be more looking for us this year.
You guys, if you want to hang out and have a good time, Chris is going to be there, and our friend the Hair Metal Hero will be there, too.
Now, this is all in the planning stage, so I don't want to guarantee Chris Tyler there, but he better be there.
Chris Tyler might possibly be there.
He's close by. Chris Tyler and I are close enough to New York City that, like, we're the most likely to be attending this year. And Paul Spataro, guaranteed. He can just drive over to the con from his house, so.
What a dumb butt.
Mm-hmm. He's a poop face.
What a poop face.
He's a poop-faced poop eater with his breath tastes like poop.
See, DragonCon is my better bet because I live in Atlanta.
I know. You see, we talked about going to DragonCon, but the problem with DragonCon is the great thing about DragonCon, which is that it's huge and there's just all sorts of stuff to do and going on, and it's got an intensely more party atmosphere than any other con I've ever went to. There, you know, there's a lot of recreational drinking and stuff going on, which is not usually big at a con, but it's, you know, this one attracts the masses and it's just amazing to walk around. But part of the appeal of Two True Freaks getting together is just us hanging out together.
Yeah.
Something as massive and as, you know, you pay all that money to get to Dragon Con and to secure a room 11 months in advance and stuff, you feel sort of like you have to, and you see it all in front of you. Yeah, so it's not as conducive to, like, actually hanging out with the people that you go to, that you meet there.
You just have to know where to go. I know of a nice secret little bar that's kind of, in one of the Dragon Con hotels, but it's far enough away and it's nice enough to, like, hang out and chill, but it's still, like, within a couple blocks of the thing, like the
but that's like an enclave. That's like, so you could go there and get a moment's respite. I just want to get everybody together and have a picnic, you know, or have a cookout, you know.
Well, I was about to say, Centennial Olympic Park is like 5 blocks from there, 5-6 blocks.
Mm.
You could walk to Centennial.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's right down the street. But if you want to know where a cute little secret bar is, if you go to the Sheridan, and it's up on, let's see, I'm trying to remember which floor it's on. I think it's on the third floor, but there's a restaurant. If you just keep walking back, You're going to keep walking back and keep walking back and just keep on going. It's, like, all the way in the back of the hotel. And it's this, like, little restaurant. But it has, like, these, like, little side cubbies that you can fit, like, 13 people inside. And it is a little pricey, but it's nice because it's, like, it's still one of the main hotels, but it's far enough away that it's not, like, uber crowded. Like, walking through the Marriott and you look at a bar and there's, like, 200 people crammed in a bar. So it's, like, a nice place where you can, like, sit and chat and hang out and stuff.
Anybody has seen our Two True Freaks video of Dragon Con, and that was Dragon Con 2008.
Oh, it's even more massive now. It's like
progressed
six hotels.
A lot since then, and it was humongous then. But I mean, you've seen it, right, Hope? The with Eric Peterson and Todd Grady and
That's when it was like little. It's so big now. It's the Sheraton, the Westin, the Marriott, the Marriott, the Hilton, the Hyatt, and then that's five hotels, and then the America's Mart across the street is now where dealer's room is, and that's like a two floor dealer's room.
Jeez.
It's like so big, but I love it. I might be biased because it's my birthday weekend.
Oh, so you get double duty on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got people buying you drinks and stuff on
Yeah. Probably more than likely I'll have to go and attend with my store, because last year I went with my store. So like for several during the day I was there and at night I was free to roam. But what ended up happening, I was so tired after working in the vendor's hall. I was just like, I went to my own birthday party and I was the first one to leave because I was like, guys, I love you. I'm going to bed. Thanks for coming, guys. I mean, I was exhausted all throughout the con. You have to do like setup and everything.
Yeah. And yeah, it's exhausting period. Just being there.
Yes.
So
a lot of walking. Yep. If you've never been to Dragon Con and you want to go to something, give yourself at least an hour to walk there. And it's so much easier to, it's faster to walk around the buildings than through them.
And yeah. And if you're not a fan of crowds,
You're not gonna like Dragon Con.
You get depressed of flesh a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Well, Dragon Con is where we met and we talked about Clone Wars.
Yes.
All right. So, The Lair of Grievous is the 10th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. It aired on December 12, 2008, and it was written by Henry Gilroy and directed by, I'm so sorry, I'm about to butcher your name, Atsushi Takeuchi, ha ha ha. I do know how to pronounce Japanese, I promise. It is the debut episode of Jedi Master Kit Fisto in the Clone Wars series. And some extra information for you. The Jedi captured lightsaber Kit Fisto examines in Grievous' castle belongs to the Jedi Master Nebu. During the scene where Grievous is being repaired, when his mask is removed, the audio is actually from his death scream from Revenge of the Sith. And this episode won a Golden Reel Award for Best Sound Editing in Television Animation. Mm-hmm.
This one has some great sound design in it.
Mm-hmm. So as always with Jagas and Jedis, we start every episode with the moral of the story done in a terrible Yoda voice in bed.
Most powerful is he who controls his own power. In bed.
My Schwartz is bigger than your Schwartz.
In bed.
I have to say, though, I think next episode...
Rubber it is, not shower.
Sorry. No.
It's not the size of the boat, but the motion of the ocean.
Size matters not. Size matters not. Swear do I.
That's a lie. Girth is better than length.
Judge me by my size, will you?
All right.
All right.
Yoda dick jokes number 655 of 10,000 in Jay Guys and Jedis.
Oh my god, I love it. I need to put down my tablet, so. I keep being distracted because I've been playing Star Wars Card Trader and it's awesome, but I'm like...
You have a problem. You were talking about it last week, yeah.
I know. It's so much fun and I'm almost about to complete a series. Of one of the awards.
In true junkie fashion, she was trying to... I don't know if it was on air or off air, but she was trying to talk me into getting involved in it. Just try it. Just one.
I'm 6 cards away from completing an award. I'm sorry. Do you want to be my friend on Star Wars Card Trader? It's just Jay Guys and Jedi. And then you can give me all the cards. Anyway, Act 1.
Give her all the cards, for Christ's sakes, please, people. Give her all the cards.
They just released a Kylo Ren pink card, and it's only here for 24 hours.
Aha, he must hate that.
and there's only a 5% chance of getting it, but I'm almost out of credits.
Why do I have to be the pink card?
Well, I already have the pink seventh sister, and I've had some people, like, hitting me up for it. And I'm just like, no, it's my pink seventh sister. It's mine. Mine. Though, I was thinking about you last week, Chris.
What'd I do?
On Wednesday, I was watching Rebels Recon, and they had a preview for the episode on Wednesday, which is, I think, The Call is what it's called. Shows you how far in advance we record these.
Yeah.
And the little clip, it was just the ghost crew flying around, and Ezra was like, there's something out there, and they look out the window, and it was space whales.
Yes, I saw that. There's a little trailer of this, of a scene with a space whale and two TIE fighters that aren't Imperial. They've been modified, that somebody's using, that, mm-hmm. that sort of interrupts their little moment with the space whales. And I was just like, yes, even the space whales are back. One of my favorite things.
But I was thinking about our episode several weeks ago when we were talking about you liked all the space manta rays, and I was thinking about you.
Yeah, it was a very similar scene, and I liked it. And Ezra was trying to, like, reach out to it and had, like, a little moment where they used just the eye for communication. Sort of like a friendly Jurassic Park moment. It was pretty neat.
Oh, I have this. I love Ezra, but he is definitely not one of my favorite characters. And I know I'm going to get people being like, we must protect the blueberry. Why do you hate Ezra? And I don't hate Ezra. I like him. He's just nowhere
close. Not your favorite.
He grinds on me a lot. I think he's a Mary Stew.
Oh.
He's such a Mary Stew character. He really is.
We'll see what happens with him.
I think it's just because also I got so used to watching Ahsoka. And then, like, Ezra has done so much in one season that it took Ahsoka, like, 6 seasons to get shit done.
I'm like, starting to think that maybe the Jedi weren't, like, in their late period, weren't the best teachers. I think they were losing it, you know, as far as... You know, they were trying to mass produce Jedis. I'm thinking some of the organic left to their own devices Jedis might be a little bit, you know, or maybe run into a Ben Kenobi who gives them a few pointers and sends them on their way. It might be better than going through Jedi school.
Oh, did I talk about it in this one? Yes, this is the one where I talk. I couldn't remember if it was this episode or next episode. I wrote notes about gray Jedis, so that's actually kind of a cool segue.
Oh. Yes, yeah, I've heard talk of gray Jedis. I haven't really, like, watched any or read anything, or I've seen people mention them, but I sort of got the idea of it from the name of them, you know, what they were going for with that.
Let me pull up the gray Jedi code, and when we get to that section of my notes, am I in the right place? I'm not in the right place.
See, I think a gray Jedi, I get the impression, is someone who's balanced... believes in the balance of light and dark in their training, so they don't.
They're the most freaking human of all.
Right. But I think that is basically what a good Jedi should be, rather than, you know, but
no,
you know,
some that would be, I guess Qui-Gon, that would be my Jedi sect. What?
I guess that would be my Jedi sect that I would want to belong to, would be the Grey Jedis.
Well, some people think that Qui-Gon was a gray Jedi.
Yeah, I would maybe argue possibly Obi-Wan.
He's a little too wet with you.
Post Clone Wars, Obi-Wan.
Oh yeah.
Tatooine, and yeah. Even Yoda. I would say the Yoda and Obi-Wan being in. If I ever, like, get anybody to draw my Yoda comic. That would be what my Yoda comic would sort of be about, would be Yoda reconciling his light and dark side together. And I would almost picture Yoda and Obi-Wan, from being in exile, possibly being more gray Jedis than, you know, just from being taken out of the structure of the old Jedi Order, you know, and being free agents after that. Where I don't know if they even considered themselves Jedi after that.
It's interesting because, like, we've seen in the comics, at least for Obi-Wan, like the two Obi-Wan one-shots, he's sort of struggling with being a Jedi, but not. Mm-hmm. He's, like, having to... I don't want to say it's, like a drug user, but he's having kind of withdrawals from, like, not being able to use the Force and not being able to help people.
He's having... It's PTSD sort of, like, having... Or a returning war veteran having trouble adapting to civilian life.
Yeah. So, that's... Yeah. Anyway, so Act 1.
Act 1.
So... Continuing from the previous episode, Kit Fisto has traced Newt Gunray's ship, a stolen ship, to a remote planet. He calls Luminara to report his location. She tells him that his former Padawan, now Jedi Knight Nadar Veb, is already waiting for him on the planet. Landing on the clouded and rocky world, he meets Nadar, congratulating him on finishing his Jedi training in Fisto's absence due to the war. Excited to show off his skills, Nadar clears the fog, revealing a looming palace built into the mountainside. There's no guards and the door is sealed. Instead of blowing it up, Kit Fisto reveals why he is a master and finds a hidden entryway. They enter the fortress, which is creepy and filled with eerie creature sounds. They see a seat in a room where Gunray's voice is coming from, with droids surrounding him. The Jedi easily destroy the droids, but find that Gunray isn't there. It's a hologram, and the tracking beacon is there. Count Dooku appears in another hologram, giving his condolences the Viceroy won't be joining them. But he offers an alternative prize, and that is also a trap of some sort. They continue further into the palace, finding several Kalish statues dedicated to one particular warrior. At the end of the hallway, they find the armory of General Grievous, realizing this is his personal hideaway. Arriving to the planet, Grievous receives an ultimatum from Dooku. Kill more Jedi, or he's done for.
Yeah, that's pretty much where Grievous has been sitting this whole time.
Yeah.
I love the design of Grievous's lair. It is H.R. Giger alien-like.
It is. What?
Have you ever seen the original Alien movie?
No.
The guy,
if I did, it was a long time ago. I've seen a lot of clips from it.
The guy who did a lot of the design of the alien and the alien ships and the look of the aliens was this, I think he was Swiss artist named H.R. Giger. And that's what Grievous's lair looks like. It looks halfway between something built and something made by insects, maybe, you know? It's got that creepy and, like, kind of organic, but bug-like organic and very black and white. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. It does look kind of like someone burrowed a lot of tunnels through it.
Yep, very similar to when you get to episode 2 and the whatchamacallits there that design all the droids, those guys. But those statues, don't they look a lot like the pictures you see of Dark Plagueis?
Yeah, and because I loved seeing the statues myself, like before Grievous was a cyborg.
Is that supposed to be him? Is that basically what?
Yeah, they're all supposed to be General Grievous.
Ah, okay. Wow. Yeah, he's just basically like some lungs and brain and a little scrap of face now.
Yeah, though I will say there are some inconsistencies because, like, in previous, comics and stuff before Clone Wars, the Kalish were more human-like with, like, two legs, but the statues here show that they have four legs and stuff like that, giving, like, a lot of inconsistencies between the show and what came out before it. But I kind of think since they're made in Grievous's likeness, it might be one of those things where that's how it kind of came out.
Yeah. Just the production design, the sound design in this show, the show in general in this particular episode, like Grievous's ship. I love the design of Grievous's ship and the sound it makes when it's coming in for a landing. It almost sounds like a gnat or a fly or a dragonfly. You know, it's got a like kind of buzzy bug sound to it as it's coming in. It's great. They're keeping up with the Star Wars, make every ship sound different, have its own personality. And I love how Grievous is starting to get... Yeah, Dooku's at the end of his rope with Grievous, and Grievous is also getting pissed at Dooku. He's getting snippy at him on the, that last, you know. I mean, we saw a couple episodes ago he cut him off.
Yeah.
This time he's getting mean with him, you know, just before he cuts off and getting short. It's great.
I'm also just really happy to have Kit Fisto. I love Kit. He's so charismatic, and he's like really weirdly hot to me. And he's like so like suave and cool, and he has that Caribbean like accent. I just like seeing Kit Fisto.
His voice and his accent. You see that when like you're Scott Gardner's in my age, because I'm sure I don't remember when we talked about this episode of it, but I'm sure as soon as both of us heard Kit Fisto, and anybody like in their 40s, there was a commercial, and I think it was like from the Jamaican Tourism Board or something, and there was just this, you know, big barreling happy looking bald Jamaican guy, and he would always, you know, the main thing that he said was, ah, ha, 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 come to Jamaica. Ah, you know, just with that like big smile and just like, ha, it's beautiful here.
It is beautiful in Jamaica.
I'm sure it is. And it was like, where's the beef? It was a huge ad campaign, and everybody, anytime they heard a Jamaican accent, would go, ah, ha, ha.
So as soon as I heard
Fisto talk, I was just like, oh, come to Jamaica.
I totally forgot where's the beef. I totally forgot about all that. That's just made me smile.
You're lucky.
Where's the beef?
Yeah, you're lucky. I lived through it.
Yeah, I took a class in school. We were studying commercials, and we had to watch like all the older commercials and why they were classics. And one of them was the Where's the Beef commercial.
Yep, Clara Peller. She had,
Where's the beef?
She had albums, you know, and was making TV appearances. She was sort of like Larry Bud Melman. I think she was. Very similar to Larry. I think she was like a makeup person for a TV show, and people were just like, oh, this woman's gotta be, you know, showcased, and hence Where's the Beef. And one of those careers that starts in your late 70s.
Yeah. But I'm just happy that we have Kit Fisto. He's one of my favorite Jedi. He's so cool. He's so cool.
He's so dreamy.
He is weirdly dreamy, and I like... He's one of my favorite parts of the Water Wars episodes in season 4 because he's like swimming around.
Well, have you seen in the Tartakovsky 2D animated one? There's one episode that's basically him leading his people in a underwater battle with the Imperials and just trouncing them because he's in his native environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
Well, he's awesome.
Awesome. So yeah, so this is sort of it's like kind of his return. If you did. Someday we need to do a special on the 2D Tartakovsky Clone Wars.
Maybe just we can so that, do it like in between seasons.
Yeah, because I feel the need for us to cover every animated Star Wars post Clone Wars, or you know, yeah, from that Clone Wars on. I hesitated to say that because that would mean bringing Ewoks and droids into the mix too. And
we should. I haven't seen them.
Maybe a special episode. I don't know if I would want to work through the whole the whole series of either of those. They have their moments. God bless them. But, yeah.
Well, what about you guys, listeners? Like, if you want between seasons, we could always do, like, a special episode covering something else. Mm-hmm. And then before we jump into, like, season 2 or season 3, we can do that. So
if we get that complete, then we're going to have to do the Star Wars holiday special.
Yes, I've never seen that either.
Never seen it?
No, they're really hard to find.
Hard to find? It's you just go to YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never thought about looking for it.
Oh, Hope, you're going to be so happy.
Oh, I'm
you're
so going to
be such a happy person watching that. It's the. I mean, I don't know if.
Is that the one with Chewbacca's kid?
No. Well, that's in the Star Wars. The Star Wars Christmas special, holiday special is. One of the most horrifying things, and it's really bad, but it's also kind of boring bad. but it's train crash bad. And the cartoon in it is like this shining star of real Star Wars. And let me just put it this way. The holiday special came out the first Christmas after Star Wars. So it was the biggest thing in the Star Wars was just the big, it was the Beatles, you know, coming to America. It was this huge thing. I was in a frenzy of Star Wars and, you know, the holiday special, I'm going to watch it. And the disappointment of seeing it, you know, the story has been told a million times. But in the middle of all this, they had this little animation house in Canada that ended up doing the movie Rock and Rule. And I think they did Droids and Ewoks, too, called Nelvana. And they told them that they wanted them to go anime style, but not like a mixture of anime and like heavy metal. Mm-hmm. And it's stylized, but very detailed. And it has Boba Fett in it, you know, before the Empire Strikes Back, as just a character that they run into. And it's the main story is their meeting of Boba Fett. And it's some kind of with all the original voice actors, so it's all kinds of wonderful. You got Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and
going on with Hans Chin?
Yeah,
he's just like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
See what I mean?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Isn't it beautiful? It's just so stylized and fun and
oh my God,
Star Wars. Pure Star Wars. See, I'm already doing the show where we cover it already.
Oh, and I will say I have seen memes of Lumpy.
Yeah.
It is a meme.
You owe it to yourself to watch it at least once just to see how ill-advised it was. See Harvey Korman and Bea Arthur incorporated into the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
So the house that Chewbacca's family lives in, I would love to live in that house.
When we know that we're... Maybe when we're closer to Christmas, you and I will watch this.
Oh, you know, Scott Gardner and I did a commentary on it, but I would love to do a little Christmas time talk and get your take on the holiday special, especially since you didn't have to live through it at the beginning. And here's the thing. Maybe I'll try to go into gray area world on YouTube. You're not going to see, you can see the whole thing on YouTube. But you're not going to see, in the early days, the only way you could watch it. And since then, somebody's found a cherry copy of the episode and dubbed DVD quality of it. But the only way you could see it, and the first time I saw it was Scott Gardner had acquired it probably for like $50 to $70, a VHS that was a dub of a dub of a dub of somebody taping it off TV. So it had all the commercials. Which half the commercials were for Star Wars toys, and that's the best way to watch it because the commercials are the best part. You get to see those commercials from those days, which to someone my age is nostalgia. To someone your age, it's like cultural anthropology.
I love going through like whenever we get new comic or whenever we buy older comics in our store, I love looking at all the advertisements.
Yeah. The advertisements say almost as much about the era of something than the actual, you know, stories in the comics or the TV shows and stuff. And you get to see what all the little kids looked like in 1977, which were great. They were all little Luke Skywalkers. Everybody had hair like Luke Skywalker, before Luke Skywalker even.
Maybe it was, what was it? Because I remember listening to one of our other Who True Freak shows, like, forever ago. Maybe it was one of Sean's old shows or something, or it might have been, like, Back to the Bins. Oh, it was Back to the Bins, but this was, like, years and years ago. Someone put a call out for people who were scanning old comics to make sure whenever you scan them and put them in, like, comic book reader files and stuff like that, to include the advertisements. Mm-hmm. And so ever since then, like, I've made a point to, like, really look at the advertisements, and they're so fun and so interesting.
When I was a little kid, there were so many things, and there was one ad, it was always a full-page ad, and it was for a novelty company with all the X-ray specs and the squirting flowers and stuff like that. That was the page we always used to go over at kit with as kids. And like when you still look in those old comics, you can see those ads and you'll see where kids have gone through and circled all the things that they wanted. Our local museum, we have the Strong Museum of Play here in Rochester, which basically down in their Raiders of the Lost Ark vault, they have every toy ever. It just stored away on shelves. And they had a display once when we were in there. They had the retro arcade set up, which has now become permanent there. But we were there and they just had a display up on the wall just out of nowhere of that ad. And it was a giant reproduction of the ad. And in front of the ad, they'd put sort of like shelving, enclosed shelving. And they had an example of each one of the items as you would get it, you know, as it would have come in the mail from you of each one of the toys, just right in the, you know, they had the block. So the item was right on top of its ad and you could see, and I could finally see everything, you know, and see how chintzy most of it was compared to what you were led to believe. But, you know, and also how awesome the packaging was. And oh, it was great.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So we'll say it now. Christmas, we'll do the holiday special.
All right. That should be fun. I'm very curious to see.
I actually will not watch it until then, so I can actually have, like, a fresh reaction to it.
Yeah.
Should we do it as a commentary so I could just be like, what is happening? Should we do it as a commentary?
It'll be our second commentary. If we do it as a commentary, to differentiate it from Gardner's and I, we would have to do it as your first time seeing it going in cold.
All right, I will.
Although you should, well, I was going to say you shouldn't even treat yourself to the cartoon because the cartoon will be like a nice, something to give you something good during the show.
Well, I only just like Google imaged it. That's why I was like, oh my God, Han looks like Benedict. Mm-hmm. Hanadick.
Everybody's character design is great. R2 is amazing. It's bizarre and amazing.
R2-D2.
It's when they move too. It's the way they move too. And 3PO, they're just very clanky and pieces flying all, you know, their arms and legs sort of go in a different angle. It's great.
I can't even like find pictures of it. It's all just like people's fan art of it. And wait, is that him with a guitar?
That doesn't happen.
it doesn't happen?
That's fan art. There's no guitar playing in that. Yeah. No.
Well, now I'm upset, Chris.
The cartoon is 100% pure Star Wars right down to the music. And it's great.
All right. So we'll make an actual point. I will not watch it until Christmas. And that way we'll do a commentary.
Do not open until Christmas.
Yes. It will be a very... I don't know. The older I get, the faster time flies. So it'll be Christmas tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, well, that's all I have. I actually don't have that much from this episode. I actually have from either of our two episodes we're recording tonight.
Oh, geez. Well, I say we move on to Act Two.
Act Two, where the action begins. Yeah. So, the Jedi realize they're part of a trap, but this is a great chance to capture Grievous if they can get the jump on him. They surprise him and surround the general. In the fight, Kit Fisto cuts Grievous in half. He's able to spider crawl away, killing two of their clone troopers. Grievous escapes into a hidden door. He calls his sassy and fabulous medical droid EV-A4D, or I-40, to assist him. Grievous also activates a group of Magna Guards and watches the Jedi from his command center. Before the clones outside guarding the ship can call for reinforcements, the Magna Guards explode the ship, killing them. They also try to capture Fisto's ship, but his droid R6 is able to fly away. Grievous drops the floor out from under our heroes, dropping all the clones but Commander Phil into a lava pit. Fisto calls out Grievous. The general releases his pet Rogwart, named Gore, which is really cute, to hunt down the Jedi. I-4D then proceeds to fix and repair Grievous. Okay, I didn't mean that, like, Gore was cute. I just like this image of, like, Grievous and his pet.
Yeah, he loves his pet, too.
I know. Was it here or was it in the next section I talked about Grievous's pet?
Love this part. Oh, my God. They cut his legs off and he spider crawls around. They cut his legs off. They've got cables.
It was like
attached.
The Exorcist.
Yeah, they got cables attached to him, and it's all in this hallway, you know, where like, yeah, they're just in his home turf, and he's just flinging the clones around, and you know, he just knows his lair. You know, he's got handholds on the ceiling, so he could just, ah, I don't have legs, I'll just hand crawl across the ceiling and whip through here. I love him.
This is a good episode with them too, because he's like so creepy and scary. Like, you don't know what's gonna happen.
He's got his lair. His lair has trap doors that drop you into a hellish lava pit. And
yeah,
you know, even one stormtrooper goes right into it, and you see him just instantly vaporized. It's he's got his own heavy metal bot. Although at first I was like, ooh, it's a robot. And then I'm like, no, it's sort of like him. It's like some creature that's been enhanced with mechanical stuff, you know, because...
His pet Gore?
Yeah, Gore's still got some, you know, a little bit of... he's almost like a lizard creature that they've enhanced and armored, you know?
Oh, I took him more as just wearing armor, not being enhanced like him.
I just figured he would probably be enhanced just like his master. But either way,
I won't ruin this for you.
He looks like he's right off a Iron Maiden record album back, you know. He'd be like a demon someone was fighting, and how he's got that headpiece is very like Norse crossed with demon. It's great.
Oh man, Gore Angry is rocking out to Iron Maiden and gloriously riding Gore across the mountainside. Just...
Oh my god, I would love to see an episode of Grievous on like out in a battlefield with Gore just like crashing over you know, it would be more Lord of the Rings like than Clone Wars, but it would be awesome. And when he's like, okay, I've got to take your face mask off. This is going to hurt a lot. I didn't know that was his death scream. That was a great sound. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. When that scene when they were taking it off was a great just horror scene. It was a great.
It sounded so painful.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great cut to, you know, great end to that section of the show, to that act.
I will say, as cool as I will admit that Grievous is in this episode, that his ongoing cough, I just like want to give him some Dayquil. Like, it is so, I can't. Like, that cough is so annoying.
You know what I find annoying?
What?
Mon Calamari Padawan.
Oh my god, I have issues with Nadar throughout this entire thing, though, especially like in this section. Because Nadar, like, the moment he was just like, oh, the clones got in my way, I was like, you get out now. Don't you ever speak ill of my clones. Ever. Ever. But I am also just like kind of wondering about him as a whole. Because Kit Fisto couldn't finish his training. Like, this was his Padawan. And now Nadar is a Jedi Knight. And because of the war, Fisto couldn't finish his training with Nadar. So I'm wondering if there's like this like kind of weird transitional thing where he just kind of got passed around from like Jedi to Jedi, unlike other Padawans like Anakin, right, who was like with his one master always. And I think a lot of it.
So he trusts more in himself more than anything else.
Yeah.
But there's also the strong, he wants to show off too and show his master everything he's learned since the last time. He wants to impress him. But he doesn't, I mean, they're Jedi. It should only take one incident for his master to impress upon him, knock this shit off, you know?
And we kind of see that, like...
He gives him plenty of opportunities and even to the point of, like, just after a while, it just becomes like he's giving him the hairy eyeball, but it's like, if I were that Padawan, I'd be like, oh, if I want to impress my master, maybe I should be a little more disciplined right now, you know? But he's not, he's... I don't know, I'm biased against characters with big baby heads. And being Mon Calamari, he's got that big baby head, so it makes him seem more bratty and snotty. It's the same thing with that movie, The Monster Squad. The lead kid in that's got this big old little white kid baby head, and it makes me not like him a little more. It's me. It's not the Mon Calamari. It's my own weird bias towards giant heads.
I also wonder if how young and inexperienced Nadar is. I got the feeling that this might be one of his early exploits as a Jedi Knight, because Fisto was like, you did it, you just finished your training. So I was like, okay, so we know he's not as young as Ahsoka, who is still a Padawan, but I get the feeling he's still kind of young.
I would have put him at like about Ahsoka's, I would have put him at like 14, 15, 16, somewhere, or I don't know. Or, you know, the equivalent of that development in Mon Calamari years or whatever. It might be even like 45. He might be a 45-year-old Mon Calamari, for all we know. And that's how long it takes him to reach puberty or something. But he seems like just post-puberty.
I took him a little older, more like 16, 17.
He's still got kind of a kid voice, you know?
A little like, bit, yeah. Like a, but I the reason I point out his age, because I wonder if this is one of his first times being able to, like, lead clone troopers, so he's not quite sure how to do it yet. But this is also the first time in the series we've heard a Jedi speak ill of their clone troopers. Like,
he's a little jealous, it seems like.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is kind of a thing, and I feel like it's setting up a lot of... Because we know in, like, later seasons, like, we'll have, like, other Jedi, like, Grail and stuff like that, speaking ill of them. And it could also just be Nadar's, like, the best of Nadar's emotions just getting the best of him. But I'm wondering if there's already other Jedi running around who think poorly of the clones this early on.
I would bet so. I would bet they're jealous of him because the clones are bonding with Jedi during battle.
How do you mean?
I want to be my master's Padawan, not these clones. They're getting friendly with them. And they're developing bonds with them and by fighting beside them and training with them.
Oh, I meant more like just distrusting them. Just like, you know, where did these guys come from? Why do we have to use them?
Oh, that's part of it, too. Yeah, I'm sure that's part of it, too. And you're buddying up with them a little bit, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know if it's an experience or what, but I also want to note that I think ID4 is fabulous. He's fabulous, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of the bot that David Tennant plays in season 5. But I think it's just because I really like sassy droids.
Well, he knows that Grievous needs him, so he can't just... Grievous has been proven he'll just punch the head off a droid if he's angry, even if the droid didn't do anything. Or just being the slightest bit annoying. But this guy knows that Grievous needs him.
I do wonder why, like, Grievous didn't, like, reprogram him. Because, like, the droid is sitting there belittling Grievous. I'm like, okay, this droid's going to get punched. So I'm like, why didn't you just reprogram him to not be that way?
Yeah, maybe Grievous is like some people. He's more of a user than a programmer. You know, he's on his own. He's just like, in all his work, you know, taking over the galaxy, hasn't had time to update his software yet.
I'm sure that we could, like, go into, like, this really deep discussion.
Grievous
secretly hates himself and he likes being abused by his droids.
He's got a little sadomasochistic relationship with the droid and he kind of likes being belittled. It grounds him. It keeps him down to earth.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else for this section, did you?
Nope, I am all ready to finish this up because we are leading up to a appearance by our favorite Jedi, Wet Blanket Windu, is coming in.
Oh, did I even mention Windu in there?
Why would you? He just shows up as a hologram, but he's got to show up, throw the wet blanket on at the end of the...
I think when I was writing these notes, I thought about it. I was like, hey, Wet Blanket Windu, and I was like, he doesn't do anything. I'm not even going to mention it.
Yeah, screw him. I'll mention him. That's all we need to.
Yay! Taking on Gore, the Jedi struggle against the beast. Commander Phil is killed, leaving only the Jedi to face it. They quickly finish the beast. Nadar is pissed at the senseless killing, and Fisto urges his old Padawan to remember his training. Nadar says that the rules are changing in a war where strength prevails. Fisto says that maybe it's Nadar that has changed. All fixed up, Grievous is angry his pet was killed. Dooku holoskypes in, dropping the bomb that he led the Jedi there. This is a test for Grievous to see if he can truly lead the droid army. Fisto and Nadar find the hidden control room, but ID4 rats them out and traps an all-too-willing Nadar with Grievous and his Magna Guards. He takes on Grievous, but is no match as the General surprise guns him down. R6 calls Indefisto to meet him on the landing platform. Grievous surprises him, now wielding Nadar's lightsaber. They duke it out as Fisto throws shade at Grievous for being the pawn he is. Getting his Padawan's lightsaber back, Fisto holds off the Magna Guards until R6 arrives to rescue him. Dooku is not impressed that Fisto escaped. Grievous is only half angry that he kind of sort of survived, passed the test. Gold star, Grievous. You get a gold star. You tried. The end.
I like how these episodes sometimes don't have a satisfying ending, or, you know, they just, for anybody, they just sort of end in an incident where this one does, where Grievous sort of wins, but he doesn't win. The Jedi, I guess, are ahead. They're not really ahead because they've lost a few people, but they've gotten out alive.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything really resolved or you know, or anyone like clearly defeated and who clearly won in it. I like it. It's just sort of
the winner of this episode is Newt Gunray.
yeah, basically.
That's about it.
Yep. It's definitely not Grievous and it's definitely not the Jedi.
Yeah. Though, before I go into my deeper notes, I find it kind of oddly cute that Grievous got really mad that Gore was killed. And I just imagine this, like, really dark kids show of, like, Grievous and Gore! And he, like, plays fetch by, like, throwing body parts, and Gore comes, like, bounding back with an entire body in his mouth. Or, like, Gore, like, leaves a mess on the floor, and he's like, oh, you!
Gore brings him his lightsaber and accidentally turns it on, cutting off Grievous's arm, and Grievous is just like, ah. Oh.
Gore!
You
hear, like, the laugh track, like, oh!
Yep.
I would read that comic, Grievous and Gore. So did you think about this section?
I liked it. It was a continuation of the. I was happy to see the kid buy it. I was surprised that they actually killed him. I thought they would like.
Isn't it kind of weird that they kind of wrote Nadar to be dislikable, so it's kind of satisfying when Grievous kills
him? Yeah, you're sort of glad to see him go, and you shouldn't be, but he's not as because he's not. He's just. He's kind of, he was not a likable character.
Mm-hmm.
Grievous may be more of an evil character, but he's more fun to watch, so I...
Because, like, even Kit Fisto was just like, my Padawan died. Well, time to get out of here.
Yep. Well, he was going south anyway, so... And there was a little bit of, like, I warned him.
Yeah.
You know, he gave him plenty of room there not to fight Grievous on his own, and it definitely was the right advice.
But I kind of like Nadar's kind of flip-floppy this episode for me too, because earlier he was like, oh no, the clones got in my way, and then he was like really angry that all the clones were just senselessly killed. And I was wondering if maybe, but it was only with like Commander Phil, so I'm wondering if he might have been close with Commander Phil and all the other troopers on this mission were all shinies. But I also think he's weirdly just ruled by his emotions, which is kind of like to me, like a little bit of a foreshadowing for Anakin a little bit.
Well, what's funny is I'm seeing your text here and I see Commander Phil is spelled F-I-L-L.
That's what it was on the Wikipedia.
Right. Which makes sense in Star Wars name logic. But when I was watching it, I'm just thinking Commander Phil, like P-H-I-L, like Philip, which is just, it's like having Commander George or Commander Fred or something, you know, it was
Commander Cody. It's spelled like Cody.
Commander Phil, you know, Commander Phil, everybody knows Phil.
But like, I constantly struggle like with the Jedi and this whole like no attachments thing, because Fisto was sad for like 2 seconds that he lost his Padawan, and then he was just like, "Oh, I gotta move on now."
Yep.
And so a lot of times, like the Jedi are almost kind of like saints almost, like they're up on these pedestals and like they're almost godlike and like they're not supposed to have emotion. But I think that's kind of like eating their own hubris that they think that everything's always good and you know they're always gonna win in the Jedi way. And as a viewer, like, I prefer seeing Jedi like Obi-Wan and Anakin opposed to, like, Wet Blanket Windu in his school of stick-up-their-asses Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, to bring in what I was talking about earlier about the Grey Jedi, I think, honestly, the best Jedi and the most balanced ones are the Grey Jedi or the Althusian Jedi from the EU, which is now we're kind of... I'm wondering if we're kind of seeing that more now with, like, Kanan and Ezra and Rebels.
Well, it's like in episode...
Or Ahsoka now.
It's like in episode one where Obi-Wan mentions the Living Force. Or I think it was Qui-Gon who mentioned the Living Force. Which sort of, to me, meant that there's like, all right, there's the Force that you learn to do, like, Force tricks with and, you know, manipulate material objects and throw people around with, and you go and study at the Jedi Academy. And then there's the Force in action where you're out and stuff's going on. And it's almost more of like the destiny angle of the Force where, you know, you're in a battle or something and you're more, the Living Force to me would be more like you're sort of assessing the situation or seeing where the Force is going with something rather than using it to like fight or manipulate something or, you know, move something around. It's more of a philosophical area. And that's where I think Qui-Gon and, you know, post Clone Wars original trilogy, Obi-Wan and Yoda operated in that world where they were more operating in the here and now rather than doing things with the Force. They were trying to become more one with the Force and one with the flow of it rather than just using it.
Do you think that Kanan and Ezra are being written to be more like Grey Jedi?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I think by necessity in the world that they're operating in, they're not operating in a world where there's a Jedi Order anymore. There's no structure. There's no hierarchy of command. There's nobody for Kanan to go to and go, you know, Master Jedi, what would you think about this? Or go to the Jedi Council and take this matter up with them. It's, you're on your own. You're going with the flow of the Force. And which, I mean, in the large scale story of it, they might, you know, as the story goes on, you might be seeing that's what the Force has been trying to do is to get it so the people are more, you know, the Jedi are developing in the wild rather than being this organized group. That's why in the prequels they just got wiped out. That was the only way you were gonna stop that manner of being a Jedi.
I do want to read you the Grey Jedi Code, because I do think it very, just looking at it myself, like, it already touches on some more recent episodes of Rebels, like Ezra finding out about his parents and like things, kind of how Kanan talks to Ezra and how Ahsoka is now. And I think it's very telling about the direction we're coming into. And I think Nadar is a good example of how Ezra and Kanan aren't this anymore.
Right.
So I'm going to read it to you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So this is the Grey Jedi Code. And this is on Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia. Flowing through all, there is balance. There is no peace without a passion to create. There is no passion without peace to guide. Knowledge stagnates without the strength to act. Power blinds without the serenity to see. There is freedom in life. There is purpose in death. The Force is all things, and I am the Force.
In bed.
You know, I should have saw that coming.
Yeah, that was kind of obvious.
Yeah.
It could have followed at the end of any sentence on all those. I'm like, oh, lucky I'm on mute right now.
No, but just like, just looking at it, just even, for example, the whole, like, there is purpose in death. Like, we recently saw that with Ezra and his parents. I'm trying not to give away too many spoilers, but I'm probably failing a little bit just in case someone hasn't seen Rebels. But, like, you know, Ezra found a lot of urge to go on, and Kanan seems to be more of like a creative Jedi. Like I feel like he's already like more creative than someone like Windu. Like I keep thinking of his fight with the Grand Inquisitor, where he borrows Ezra's lightsaber and he's like keeps switching between like gun and saber, and Ezra's like, wow, I didn't even ever think about that. Like I think that's what makes them more exciting and dynamic than say this really stagnant Jedi Council that we have now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Jedi Council was narratively and just in reality just a wet blanket. It was a dead weight, you know? That's not how I want to see Jedi operating.
Yeah.
I want them to be more like, you know, yeah, lone... lone warriors out there with their nose to the wind.
I think Quinlan Voss is a good kind of like prequel to, say, someone like Kanan.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't have anything else for this episode, did you?
Yeah, no.
All right, so what did you think about the episode as a whole?
I loved it. This is, I mean, come on. It's pushing all my buttons. I'm giving this one, here we go. I think this is my first 9 out of 10.
Ah!
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I had to shift my scale to be out of 20 so I can have a little bit more wiggle room, only just because I was like, if every episode's about a 7 or 8, it's going to be really boring.
You can put in decimal points. There's no rules on any of this. We haven't set any rules.
Yeah, but okay, I decided to make it out of 20 now. I gave it a 15 out of 20. It's a good episode for Grievous, even though he only just kind of gets a gold star for trying. And it's always fun to see Kit Fisto, and I feel like Nadar is kind of foreshadowing to what Anakin will eventually become, only Anakin's not as dumb as Nadar.
If he hadn't bought it in this episode, this would have gotten an 8 from me.
Yeah.
Got a bonus point. If this episode got knocked up 2 points, 1 point for gore and 1 point for the Mon Calamari getting battered and served.
But yeah, there's a lot of it's just an okay episode. It's definitely not one of my favorites, but I mean it's a good episode.
It's up there with me.
So where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com.
Freaks.
And I know my coworkers listen to the show, so now at work, I hear it always cuts through. I hear, and now it's time, and then I'll hear two true.
Your coworkers listen to us.
Yeah, one Hi, coworker guys. loads up stuff that she's interested on the phone, and I told her that she should start watching Clone Wars. She just watched the new Star Wars and is really into it. I said, well, you need to watch Clone Wars, and you can follow our episode we just started, so you can just start following right along as you listen. She'll probably do it, too.
That's cool. What's her name?
Her name is Carly McBride.
Hi, Carly.
Yeah, hopefully by now she's listening. Hopefully by now we've hooked her in. And, yeah, she and her boyfriend, I've made friends with them at work, and they're a riot. I went to see live the Trailer Park Boys, who I was, before we started recording, was telling Hope she needs to watch the Trailer Park Boys. But we saw a live Trailer Park Boys Christmas show in Buffalo. We took a little road trip to Buffalo called Dear Santa Claus, Go Fuck Yourself. It's awesome. Yeah, twotruefreaks.com. We got a whole bunch of podcasts here on every nerd topic. We don't have a Trailer Park Boys one yet, but it could actually happen.
Get on that, Chris, because you don't have enough. Yeah,
I just need to make... That's what I need, another podcast to do.
And you can find me. I run our Twitter at JGuysAndJedi, and you can come say hi. We also, our friend Jean puts up all the Two True Freaks podcasts at twotruefreaks.com. And you can find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter, and I write for What the Fangirl. And if you want to leave us a review on iTunes or rate our show, it'll help people find us, and we'll read your reviews on the show. Actually, I didn't even check those through.
You know what's really funny is when I went to my email today to get the files here, to the document files for the show, I saw that I had a message from Twitter. So I do have a Twitter account. It was signed up for probably around 2008.
And I told you had a Twitter account.
So it's sending email to so now I know what email it's hooked up to. I may try to see if I can figure out how to sign into that sucker and do some Twittering.
Oh Lord!
If I get it going, I'll tell people how to. Or it depends on what name I have it in. I might have it in a secret name, and then they'll have to just figure it out. But they figure it out on Facebook, so there you go.
All right. Well, I don't have anything else, do you?
No.
Well, until next time, may the coughing, hacking goo of Grievous's lungs be with you.
Yeah, no Rex for you this week.
Oh, he is in the next episode, but he doesn't say anything.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TwoTrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
This is the irredeemable Shag. Much freak essence in you. Indeed.